Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now, in this last section of 1 Timothy 1, Paul again reminds Timothy of his responsibility to deal with the problem of false teaching at Ephesus. This was an essential part of fighting the good fight. Paul also mentions a couple of men who had made shipwreck of their lives in regards to the faith, and these men were now under discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's begin this last section of 1 Timothy 1 with some background notes. The theme that emerges from Paul's first letter to Timothy is church order. That is, how to properly set up and organize a New Testament church. But even before Paul can move on to describe the distinctive roles of men and women in the church, and the recognition of elders and deacons in the church, and other important matters about church order, even before these things, Paul had to tell Timothy that the problem of false teachers in and around the church at Ephesus had to be taken care of. So false teachers, particularly the Judaizers, are the main focus of chapter 1. Timothy was to make sure that these false teachers were silenced. Look back at verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And then in verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment, that is, the commandment to silence the false teachers and make sure that the goal of the teaching in the church was love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. Now here in verse 18, the mention of this charge or this commandment is the same charge as in the earlier part of the chapter, namely the charge and commandment to silence the false teaching. Notice from verse 18 that stopping the false teaching was part of waging the good warfare or fighting the good fight. The same is true today. Fighting the good fight is not just doing evangelism and defending the faith, but it involves refuting and silencing false teaching as well. Now, what are these prophecies concerning Timothy that are mentioned in verse 18? Prophecy, you remember, was one of the sign gifts in the early church. Remember in Acts chapter 13, it was through the New Testament prophets and the gift of prophecy that the Holy Spirit said that Paul and Barnabas were to be set apart for missionary work. Here we see that certain prophecies were made about Timothy concerning his call into the ministry. These prophecies were probably made when Timothy joined Paul on his second missionary journey. Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him. The fact that Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren may include these prophecies made concerning Timothy, or at least they give the context in which these prophecies were made. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, motivation is provided to fight the good fight. Motivation is provided to fight the good fight. In verse 18, Paul encourages Timothy to be motivated by the prophecies to fight the good fight. See the last part of verse 18? That by them, that is, by the prophecies, you may wage the good warfare or fight the good fight. In other words, whenever Timothy was discouraged or facing burnout or tempted to quit, he should look back and remember these prophecies that were made concerning him. It would motivate him. These prophecies were given by the Holy Spirit and should and would motivate Timothy to continue to hang in there and fight the good fight. You know, the Lord does the same for us today. Now, we may not have prophecies made concerning us, but the Lord gives us events to look back on, which should motivate us to continue in the faith and fight the good fight. Whenever I get discouraged in the ministry or tempted to quit, I look back on certain events in my life which God used to call me to serve Him. I remember when God raised me up from polio at the age of 12. I will never forget how with gratitude I sensed that the Lord healed me in order for me to serve him. I remember when I left secular employment to go into the Lord's work full time. A group of fellow believers joined hands with me and prayed that the Lord would bless me and keep me in the ministry of preaching and teaching God's word. How can I ever forget these events? They continue to motivate me to go on and not phase out or fade out of the good fight. Now, I'm sure you can look back in your Christian life and remember those events which still motivate you to fight the good fight. God provides these moments and events for motivation. We may not have the sign gift of prophecy today, as in the early church, for specific prophecies to be made concerning your call to serve the Lord, but God still provides moments of motivation in every believer's life. Motivation is provided to fight the good fight. Doctrinal point number two, keeping faith and good conscience are necessary to avoid shipwreck. Keeping faith and good conscience are necessary to avoid shipwreck. Verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Here we see a further exhortation to Timothy to keep the faith and maintain a good conscience. To keep the faith is to remain orthodox and not stray away from sound teaching. But we must do more than remain orthodox. We must maintain a good conscience. We must do what we know to be right. Everyone has a God-given conscience. This conscience can be misguided and desensitized and seared. Look over at 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, where certain unbelievers are described, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In contrast, a believer's conscience is enlightened by the Word of God. We are to maintain a good conscience as well as keep the faith. Something is wrong when doctrinally sound Christians cheat on their income taxes, or cheat their employers, or cheat in their marriages. You know, I remember when I was at seminary, one of the professors there cheated on his wife and then dumped her to marry another woman. He didn't give up the faith, but he did give up a good conscience. If you don't maintain a good conscience along with keeping the faith, the result is shipwreck. Now, shipwreck does not mean that you lose your salvation, but you end up on the rocks with respect to your Christian life and testimony. You are no longer the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We don't have to search too far to find illustrations of this truth. Keeping faith and good conscience are necessary to avoid shipwreck. Doctrinal point number three, excommunication is not punitive, but remedial. Excommunication is not punitive, but remedial. In verse 20, we have two examples of believers who failed and made shipwreck of their lives. Verse 20, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The Hymenaeus here is probably the same Hymenaeus mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Let me just read that. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. The Alexander here may be the Alexander of Acts 19 or 2 Timothy chapter 4. But Alexander was more of a common name than Hymenaeus, and he may be a different Alexander altogether. In any case, these men had made shipwreck of their Christian lives and brought shame on the name of Christ. And as a result, they were delivered over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Verse 20. Now, what does this mean, to be delivered over to Satan? Does this mean that they were sent to hell under the apostolic authority of the Apostle Paul? No. Satan is not in charge of hell. That's cartoon theology. Cartoons with Satan stoking the fires of hell is blasphemy. God is in charge of hell. And Matthew 25, verse 41 says that hell was prepared for Satan and his fallen angels. To be delivered over to Satan has to do with excommunication, or being put out of fellowship. The reason it is phrased this way, as being delivered over to Satan, is because at the present time, Satan is called the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we read there that the god of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. It's a reference to Satan. The Lord Jesus referred to Satan three times as the ruler of this world in John chapters 12, 14, and 16. So when a person is excommunicated or put out of fellowship, he or she is put out of the fellowship into the world. Church fellowship, you see, is really a sanctuary from Satan's domain. Now notice that excommunication is remedial, not punitive, that they may learn not to blaspheme. There is no such thing as punitive discipline in the church. No 40 lashes or imprisonment, etc., etc. No, there is reprimand, rebuke, warning, and the highest form of church discipline is excommunication or putting out of fellowship. All of these forms of discipline are remedial, and they are to be used to motivate the person to return to the Lord. Now, you may think excommunication will drive a person further away. Not if that person is a true believer. A true believer will not find true happiness and fellowship in the world, the realm of Satan. Excommunication promotes repentance and a return to the fellowship. Excommunication is not punitive, but remedial. Now, what about practical application from this last section of 1 Timothy 1? Are you involved in blasphemy right now? Are you involved in blasphemy right now? You say, oh no, I never swear. I never take the name of the Lord in vain. But blasphemy, you see, includes more than just verbally taking the name of the Lord in vain. Hymenaeus and Alexander had not kept the faith and had not maintained a good conscience. And thus, we read here, they blaspheme God. If you're involved right now in some form of immorality or unethical business practice or lying or stealing in any form, you are involved in blasphemy because God is not honored or revered. In fact, God is ridiculed and blasphemed by others because of your Christian inconsistency. Look what the media does when it gets a hold of a story of a compromising Christian. God is mocked. The name of the Lord is smeared. Is it possible that you're involved in something right now that's bringing shame on the name of the Lord? Are you involved in blasphemy right now?